This is Maine Things Considered. I'm Tom Porter. One of the lead opponents of a wind energy joint venture has reversed its opposition to the project and says it's okay to go ahead under certain conditions. Maine's Office of the Public Advocate, or OPA, issued a brief on Friday regarding plans by Canadian utility Emera, owner of the companies formerly known as Bangor Hydro and Maine Public Service Company, to enter into a joint venture with Boston-based First Wind. The deal, which was approved by regulators at the Maine Public Utilities Commission 2 years ago, has seen Emera invest more than $300 million into the venture so far and calls for a total of about $1 billion to be pumped in over the course of a decade. That would secure Emera a 49% share in the business called JV Holdco. A number of parties, including the OPA, opposed the venture over concerns it could affect the competitive market established by law 14 years ago. The aim, to protect the consumer by keeping power distributors like Emera separate from power generators like First Wind.
One of the primary concerns our office had was the incentive for Emera Maine to construct transmission that would help First Wind projects.
Maine public advocate Tim Schneider says the concern was that ratepayers would end up shouldering the costs of transmission upgrades as the combined utility eases the burden on itself by passing on the cost to consumers. This worry was shared by the Maine Supreme Court, which a couple of months ago ruled that the PUC was wrong in approving the deal and told the commission to take another look. Meanwhile, after 2 years of studying the issue, the public advocate no longer believes that potential for favoritism exists in the Emera First Wind case.
When we looked at this, we were really focused on what were the ratepayer harms. So there were a lot of potential things that could be concerned about, but when we looked at the transaction itself, we're like, how is this going to have a negative impact on ratepayers? And as we looked at the structure of the deal and the existing restrictions in place, including existing federal law and this restrictions imposed by the PUC, we thought that those mitigated any risk of favoritism.
The OPA also laid out a list of 6 conditions for the joint venture to go ahead, which are basically meant to establish more independent oversight of certain transmission projects. Wind power opponents, however, are not happy with the public advocate's new position. Chris O'Neill from the anti-wind energy group Friends of Maine's Mountains says the OPA is going beyond its purview.
The public advocate is a watchdog. A watchdog's role is to bark and even bite when their territory is threatened. It's not the watchdog's role to be a facilitator or a deal broker.
Despite Schneider's assurances that consumers are unlikely to be negatively impacted, O'Neill says the joint venture poses a grave threat to ratepayers in Maine,
who will be forced to pay for billions of dollars worth of wind infrastructure and transmission for decades. That is really all we need to be hearing out of the public advocate at this point. We don't need the public advocate to be trying to facilitate a deal.
The OPA, meanwhile, says it's important that the PUC develop a clear standard in dealing with these types of business partnerships, as there are a number of similar ventures that could be affected, including the offshore wind project Maine Aquaventus, which also connects generators with distributors. The PUC is expected to make its deliberation on the Emera First Wind joint venture next month. Then it will be up to the Maine Supreme Court to decide if this is acceptable. In an emailed statement, First Wind spokesman John Lamontagne says the company remains committed to the joint venture. Emera spokeswoman Dina Bartolacci-Seeley told MPBN the company's confident in the PUC process and hopeful of a positive outcome.